Hello and welcome to this week's Writing Talk podcast. So in a moment we'll have a quick romp through my bits of news and we'll dive into the main topic, which this week is all about formatting and producing your books. We won't have a writer's toolbox this week because this episode this week is like one enormous writer's toolbox. Welcome to the Writing Talk podcast, a show that helps you to build your skills as we go on our writing journey together. Okay, what have I been doing? Well, the reason the podcast is late this week, so sorry about that, it's because I have been very busy republishing the books I've spent the last couple of weeks formatting. So following the collapse of my publisher Booktrope, I've now successfully republished my first book in the Darkening Stone series, which is called Trespass, and a collection of short dark stories called A Dark Assortment. Both of those were previously published with Booktrope, which has now ceased to exist as of the end of May. So it was up to me suddenly to get these books out. But I've done it. I've got them out there. They're ready, you know, launched them on an unsuspecting world. And to celebrate that, I'm having a sale and reducing the price of both those books to 99 cents or 99p each. So you might be interested in checking those out to see if I know what I'm talking about or not. Now, publishing those two books wouldn't have been such a Herculean task, except that it clashed with the date that I'd decided previously to launch the second full-length novel in the Darkening Stone series, which is called Outcast. So that was kind of three books on the go, but I persevered, and Outcast is now there. It's now available for pre-orders, and again, that's at a special launch price of $1.99, or I think £1.49 in the UK. But of course, me being an awkward person, while I was at it, I decided it was a good time to start redesigning covers. So I redesigned the cover of Trespass, and I also redid the free Darkening Stone novella Breaking Ground. And I decided as well, just for good measure, I'd give Breaking Ground a reformat. So altogether, this week I've published four books in both print and ebook across just about every ebook publishing platform you can think of. In fact, the print books aren't quite all there yet because there are certain demands when it comes to producing print books that just take an inordinate amount of time, so they aren't quite finished. But that takes us nicely onto this week's main topic, which is all about producing your books. So let's start from scratch and kind of assume you don't really know much about this, and we'll work our way upwards very quickly. We'll start just by looking at ebooks and have a look through those options. I will mention something about producing paperback books, but because it's such a huge topic, I won't be dwelling on that much. So when it comes to ebooks, there are two formats you need to concern yourself with, and they're often referred to by their file extensions, which are .mobi, M-O-B-I, and .epub, or E-P-U-B. So Mobi is the format used by Amazon for their Kindle devices, and EPUB is the format used by all other e-readers and e-book reading apps, as far as I know anyway. So in this podcast, I'm going to focus on EPUBs, because Amazon's Kindle Direct Publishing platform, also known as KDP for short, so that's what I'll call it from now on, will allow you to upload your ebook as an EPUB. And the KDP platform will actually take care of the conversion for you. So in other words, you don't really need to worry too much about the Mobi type of file, in my opinion, since KDP will accept the EPUB. You might as well just keep life simple. Now, how you go about producing your ebooks depends on where you're starting from and how you want to handle any modifications that you might need to make of your book's content in the future. So at this point, it's a really good idea to stop and think about your future publishing plans. If you're going to produce more than one ebook, it's a very good idea to establish an effective system right from the outset. But to be honest, even if you're going to produce only one book, it would be very wise to think about how you'll handle any modifications that you need to make to the actual content in the future, because you're never sure what's going to happen. So, you know, how much work would it create if you needed to change a call to action, say, in your book, or if you just happened to find a typo or something like that? Now, to cope with those kind of changes, it's a good idea and good practice if you try and maintain a single definitive file that you can use as a basis for all your work going forward. So you've got, you know, one place you can go and say, I know for sure that's the content for that book. And that might sound easy, but actually it can be difficult to keep track of as you go on. But whatever method you choose, make sure you can keep track of all the different versions, because they can rather multiply. Okay, that said, let's have a look at some of the solutions that are available for producing ebooks. And we'll start off with one of the most common ones that a lot of people will be using, and that's Scrivener. Now, if you're writing in Scrivener already, and lots of people are, it doesn't mean you have to, it's an option. But if you're using Scrivener, you can compile your EPUB directly from the program. That's what they call it when you're converting it from the Scrivener format to the EPUB. It isn't particularly easy. I don't think you'll find anybody who says that it is. But that's especially true if you're on the Windows version of Scrivener, which I am. I mean, but it certainly can be done. There's a certain amount of detail out there online about the various settings you need. There's quite a bit, although a lot of it is for Mac versions. So, you know, you do need to check that carefully. I think I've said that before. But once you, the good thing about Scrivener is once you get a bunch of settings that you're happy with, you can save it as a template for future use. And that's, you know, that's quite an efficient way of carrying on. And that also takes care of having a definitive version of the file, because your Scrivener project becomes the definitive file version. And so it's relatively easy to keep track of any changes you might need to make. The process of compiling an ebook from Scrivener is not very user-friendly, and it isn't particularly intuitive. And there's also quite a high degree of automation in the conversion process. Now that might cause problems for you. I'll come on to that a bit more in a minute. But one of the good things about this method is that Scrivener actually compiles the ebook very, very quickly. So if it isn't right the first time, and believe me, it almost certainly won't be right, then at least it's very easy to go back, tweak the settings, and repeat the process. And you can sort of go through that cycle a while, so you've got it right, and then save it as a template, and that can save time in the future. But again, that automation is fine if you're keeping things plain and simple. But if you want a more fine-grained control, then you're not going to get that from Scrivener. Okay, well, what if you're not in Scrivener, but your work is in Microsoft Word? And that's actually quite likely, because editors and proofreaders like to use Word. And, you know, the track changes feature is the industry standard for editing and proofreading work. So what you do with your Word file then depends on how fancy your formatting is going to be. If it's all plain and simple, then there's a website I'd recommend called draft2digital.com. And there'll be a link in the show notes, but it's the number two in between draft and digital. So draft2digital.com. And they will convert your Word file to both EPUB and MOBI formats. And that's all free. And that website can also produce a PDF file that you can use to produce a paperback. It's, you know, suitable for the CreateSpace platform run by Amazon. And all you need to submit to the website is the actual .docx document that comes from modern versions of Word. As I say, the conversion is free, and they'll also handle distribution to all the major ebook platforms, with the notable exception of Amazon, which trips some people up. They go just about everywhere, like Barnes & Noble Nook, Kobo, some of the lesser known ones, which are 24 Symbols and Scribd, and I think I've missed, did I say Apple? Anyway, always worth checking, because they keep adding new people. And when they do add a new vendor to their marketplace, they actually make it very easy to say, do you want to distribute all your books? And then they'll take care of it and, you know, put them out to those new vendors. Now, of course, Draft2Digital take a cut of your royalties, but their terms are pretty good at the time of recording this. And I have read online, I haven't looked into this, that some marketplaces, actually, if you go to them directly, their terms aren't quite as good. In other words, you can actually get better royalties by selling on some marketplaces via Draft2Digital than you can by going to them direct. So they must have negotiated some kind of good deal or other, I would have thought. Terms and conditions can change from time to time, can't they? So do check carefully before you go handing over your work. You know, just check the terms and conditions and make sure you're happy with them before you go ahead. But assuming everything's okay, and I've always found it very easy to use, you can either take the Mobi or the EPUB that they produce and upload it to KDP. That's the Kindle Direct Publishing platform. And as I mentioned earlier, the PDF is reasonable. You can use it for the CreateSpace paperback publishing platform. I found that worked pretty well. That is what I did with Cheat Code, my sci-fi book. Okay, so what if you want something a little fancier with your formatting? For example, maybe you want a nice graphic on each chapter or something like that. Maybe you want to play with the fonts, or there's limited usefulness to some degree of playing with fonts with e-book readers. And maybe you just want something very specific in the layout. You want your book to have a specific look and feel. Well, in that case, any kind of automated conversion system is probably not going to be good enough for you. And in that case, you could either pay someone to format your book, because lots of people out there will do it for you, or you'll need to look into the various software options that are available. So I'm going to run through the software options. So we'll start off with the free ones to begin with. So quite the well-known program Apache OpenOffice, and also a similarly open source office suite called LibreOffice, they have extensions that allow you to produce EPUBs. I just say take care though, because although open source software like Apache OpenOffice and LibreOffice are great and are often updated very frequently, extensions produced by third parties aren't necessarily maintained. And at the time of recording this, the LibreOffice extension I looked at, which enables that program to produce an EPUB, said it just has a warning on it saying this hasn't been updated for like over a year or something. So I don't know how good that's going to be if it hasn't been maintained in all that time. Might be fine, but I didn't feel like risking it. I mean, the good thing about these methods is they're free, not just free to try, so it might be worth getting into them. And since they're based on word processors, then the learning curve is pretty shallow. You know, it won't take much getting used to. A slightly different alternative, but also free, is a program called Calibre. And it's a very amazingly powerful piece of free software. It can convert a whole range of formats back and forth. And it also has an editor built in, which allows you to edit an ebook directly. And it comes bundled with a separate app that makes a really good EPUB previewer. It's what I use for previewing my files with. Calibre can produce EPUBs and MOBIs from Word documents, and it can also convert one type of ebook into another. So it really, you know, has a lot of power under the hood, as you might say. The problem I had with Calibre, I think, mainly stemmed from the fact that the program is primarily an ebook library manager. You know, that's what it was designed and built for, rather than it being a dedicated EPUB producing piece of software. So for instance, when you're adding files to it, it likes to sort of add every ebook or every version of the ebook you've compiled as a separate ebook into its library, and it sort of squirrels it away somewhere. And it treats new versions of your ebooks as saying as a duplicate, and saying, do you want to add this duplicate? And it can, as a rule, I mean, that can just make it quite difficult to keep track of all the different versions. And as I mentioned earlier, I mean, that's a deal breaker for me. I mean, there's no negotiating. You must know exactly which file you're dealing with when it comes to uploading. And I found that quite, you know, easy to get in a muddle. I mean, even if you're only producing one ebook, you can't afford to lose track of which file is the latest and best. So although there's a lot of options to choose from when converting your ebook in Calibre, again, there is a certain amount of automation, and that can cause you problems. Although there is a built-in editor, overall, I did have a good try at it, and I had a feeling like I was constantly fighting against Calibre. And that's probably just because of the fact of it being designed and built as an ebook library program rather than as a publishing tool. Okay, another free program you might like to try is called Sigil. Sigil is an open source EPUB editor rather than a conversion tool. I had a fairly good play around with it. It is pretty powerful, but it's also quite unreliable. I mean, I had days on with the latest version when it just wouldn't load. I couldn't get the application to launch on my machine. I'm using Windows, but for some reason it wouldn't come one day, and then another day it was there, and I just found that quite irritating and, you know, holding me up. I don't have time to waste for that sort of malarkey. And I've seen comments in a few places online, so not just one person, a few people have been saying that older versions of the software were actually better and more efficient, perhaps more reliable. So I don't know what's going on there. You never know with some of these programs how much development is going on, and you can't necessarily rely on them as much as you might hope. So after a while, I mean, I just got far too frustrated with it. It wasn't behaving properly, and I just abandoned it. So if you're prepared to pay a little for some software, then some more options will open up to you. There's a word processor called Atlantis Word Processor. That's its full title, I believe. And that can produce EPUBs without any extensions needed. So, you know, out of the box, not that there is a box, but straight away, it can produce EPUBs. Now, Atlantis looks and feels like an old version of Word, so that might make the interface very familiar to you, so that's quite a good thing. And because it's a word processor at heart, you should find it easy to make any corrections in the future. So say you have a typo or whatever, and it should be okay to manage your file versions. All that is fairly straightforward and intuitive. There's a free trial on their website, so you can give it a go. That's what I did. I had a bit of a play with it. And there'll be a link in the show notes, of course. And I very nearly went down that route. It seemed, you know, pretty solid program. It wasn't too expensive, but I didn't feel like it was really giving me control of the formatting. It just didn't quite feel right for me. So the next program I tried has got a strange name of Juto. And like a lot of software, there's a free trial, so you might want to give it a go. And again, there'll be a link in the show notes. Now, the first time I used it, I really felt like stabbing myself with a fork. I mean, I was that frustrated. I think that's because it's not immediately familiar, unlike some of the other things I've mentioned, because it is a specialised piece of software. And I realised after a while it's designed and built to produce ebooks. And so that's what it does. And you need to sort of work with it a little bit. But, you know, it's very much not a word processor with an extension tacked on. And it's not a library program with extra features like Calibre. It's designed to take care of your book publishing needs. So at first it might seem like it's being idiosyncratic, but you do kind of realise there's a method in its madness. And I found it relatively intuitive and got going with it really quite quickly. So I came back, had another go at it, persevered, and I stuck with it for several reasons. Firstly, and I think quite importantly, Juto can import from a range of file types, for example, Word or EPUB. And that was really important to me because I already had a nicely formatted EPUB from my previous publisher, and I really didn't want to lose all the hard work that had gone into making that look nice in the first place. And some of my other books I needed to republish were in Word. So I needed something that could cope with both without, you know, breaking stride, so to speak. And Juto allowed me and made it easy for me to import all the files I needed. And I won't lie, the first sort of go through it, I had quite a few disasters as I learned how it worked. But I seemed to catch on to it pretty quickly, and that's usually a good sign. The online documentation, I have to say, is not great. I mean, to be honest, it isn't even good. Appropriately enough, they do make an ebook version of the manual that you can download for free. So that's quite a nice touch, I guess. But I have to confess that I haven't used it. And in a way, that's kind of a nice sign. It suggests that, you know, by a bit of playing and exploring, if you're prepared to do that and be prepared to tinker with the features, occasionally look something up online and just sort of go for using your intuition and look through the menus, you can actually get quite a lot done quite quickly. And then because it's fairly intuitive, when you've figured something out, you tend to remember it. So I found with each book that I did, I just got quicker and quicker at using this program. And also, another good reason for me sticking with it is that it satisfies my requirements to have a piece of software that I can use as a one file to rule them all. So when I've got my content into Duto and it's imported okay, and if it hasn't, it's quite quick to re-import it. You think, oh, that hasn't worked. You know, tweak a setting, re-import it. But anyway, once it's in, that becomes the definitive version for me anyway. This is my system of working now. So if I need to do any little tweaks or changes to the content, I'll do it actually in the program. And then I'll just compile it out to the different formats needed. Now, just a bit of a word here on formatting, because this, to me, is the key to formatting, whichever software you're using. And that's to understand the concept of styles. The way an ebook displays text, it depends on the styles that have been applied to that text. So, for instance, you might have one style for chapter headings, one for the first paragraph in a chapter, typically not indented, say, one style for subsequent paragraphs, and another for back matter, things like that. So, regardless of your software, it's very bad practice to use what you might call ad hoc formatting in your book. For example, selecting an isolated paragraph and making it bold, centered, italic, something like that. No, you really mustn't do that. I know it's very tempting and quite easy in lots of software. What you must do is you must set up a style that contains all the formatting you want. So it might be bold, centered, italic, say. And that goes into a style which you give a meaningful name to so you can remember it. And then you apply that to whichever chunk of text you want. And it's a very powerful way of working and thinking, because say you've got a style for all your chapter headings and they all have that style applied to them. And you think, oh, actually, I'd like a different size now, a different point size for my chapter headings. You change the style, and hey presto, all your chapter headings are magically fixed. They're instantly reformatted with the new settings. So this kind of approach is very hidden. You might be listening to that and thinking, oh, that makes sense, but how do I do that in my program? Well, the kind of styles are very hidden in things like Scrivener and Calibre. Because the process is automated and it you know, will have a good go at making those styles up for you when it converts it, but they're kind of hidden away so you don't have control of them. Now, in Word, you might be familiar with the styles palette in Word, and that is all there, but Word doesn't make it easy. It doesn't always show you all the styles in a document. It sometimes hides it away. A Word can try and be too clever sometimes. Because it's not meant for ebook publishing, you might end up with a really odd paragraph or line that won't behave, might be because it's actually had more than one style applied to it, and it can be a devil of a job to get down to the root of that problem and actually strip out, you know, the problem. I can think of times in Word when I've just deleted content and retyped it because it just won't behave, and that's probably because of some style which I was unable to get at. So that, you know, you don't need that kind of frustration. If something's wrong, you need to be able to diagnose it. You need a route to go through. So Duto, on the other hand, it's really based all around the use of those styles, and it has, you know, you can have them down the side of the screen, and it can be as easy as doing a couple of clicks to apply a style and to set up a new style again, you know, a couple of clicks and you're away. So you quite quickly feel like you're really in control of the formatting, and that's a major point in its favour. So there isn't time really to go into all of its features, because there are a heck of a lot of them in the Duto program, but it also had, just quickly mention, it has some very powerful tools and wizards that can help you do things like build or rebuild your table of contents, clean up old formatting, old odd things that might have crept through, like straight quotes and things like that. You can, now these are options, you don't have to clean them up, but there's a tool there to help you clean up your book. And of course, the compiling out to EPUBs and MOBIs and everything else. So what I'm doing is I'm just compiling to EPUB. And once I've got that ready, I check it in the EPUB reader that comes bundled with Calibre, not the main Calibre program, because, you know, I don't want to muck about with it, adding it to a library. I just want to read it. And when I'm happy it looks okay, I'll upload the EPUB straight to KDP. So that puts it on the Kindle. And Draft 2 Digital, and that puts it everywhere else. Draft 2 Digital don't alter your correctly formatted EPUB, so you get to keep all your precious formatting. But unfortunately, if you give them an EPUB, they then can't produce a PDF, so it does take out that PDF for paperback version. But you know, they produce a MOBI and they distribute your EPUB for you, along with any additions that you're allowed to make Drafter Digital has some extra little features where you can add in things like sign up to be notified when you publish a new book, and you know it can automatically add in your also buys and all sorts of things. It's worth looking at that and choosing what features suit you. So I mentioned that I'd quickly go into the paperback, so I'll just quickly tell you what I've been doing. So I go back to Juto, because that's my definitive content, and it has a wizard in there which is called Help with Print on Demand, which is, you know, a nice, quite intuitive word. And you can set it up. You can take this blank format template from CreateSpace, load that in as well. So it has that built in, so that'll take care of your margins and so on, up to a certain point. And on you can go from there. You just work through the wizard and it kind of helps you. And if you don't get it right, you can go back and forwards until you get it right. What you get at the end of that process is an open document format. So that has the ODT extension on. And you'll probably almost certainly need to do some little tweaking to that for paperback, because paperback is just a whole other ball game. I mean, I can't really go into the details here. We'll be here for hours. But I found the best way to do any tweaks is in LibreOffice, which I mentioned earlier, which is a free word processing bit of software, because it can export it directly as a PDF from there. Now, you can open an ODT file in Word, but I find, again, Word tries to be a bit too clever and it tends to mess up the formatting. On the other hand, LibreOffice, when you open up your ODT that's come out of Juto, it's quite easy to work with because the paragraph styles and page styles work in a very similar way to Juto. So you actually feel like you kind of know what you're doing and you have that feeling of being in control. So it does use another program, so it's not quite as seamless as EPUB production. But then there's just lots to think about with paperbacks that just do not apply to ebooks. You know, things like margins, things like orphans and widows, page margins and headers and footers. You know, you might have information in your headers, which you probably wouldn't do in an ebook. Page numbers, you definitely wouldn't have in an ebook, and so on. There's lots of things just to take into account. And the images have got to be the right resolution for print. You know, it's a whole minefield. So if you're interested in trying out Juto, there'll be a link in the show notes. And I actually found a discount code online, which I'll put in the show notes. I think it was 30% off. Not that it was terribly expensive to start with, but I'll put the code in the show notes as well, and it's worth a try, see if it's still going. But of course, you know, really try out any software you're thinking of using. If there's a free trial, as there is with Juto and Atlantis Word Processor, have a real good go at them before you actually part with any money. But just to round off that topic, I should mention that there's a couple of much more expensive options. There's a company called Serif, you might have heard of. They produce a desktop publishing program called Page Plus, and that can produce EPUBs. It's quite expensive. I haven't used it for quite a few years. I've used it several years ago and several versions back, and it was okay. I didn't particularly want to go out shell out all over again for the new version of the program. Not sure in dollars, it was about £90 in the UK. So, I mean, that's going to be quite expensive in the USA as well. Another program to think about is the industry standard software for producing books of all kinds, and that's Adobe's InDesign. Although I've got it, I didn't want to tackle its steep learning curve. Most Adobe products, they don't make it easy for you to just pick them up and use them, do they? And this is no exception. I think there's quite a lot of learning to be to be put in before you get anywhere with Adobe InDesign. And also, I've seen quite a few comments from people online where they say that the EPUBs that you get out of InDesign still need tweaking anyway. So, I mean, to me, that just seems another point against it. But if you want to try it, there's probably a trial, but I think you can also get it as part of these subscriptions, which I think are called Creative Cloud, last time I looked, where you pay so much to Adobe each month and you can get, you know, get use of their top-level software. So that's my two penneth, as they say where I come from. I'd love to know what's worked for you. Have you found any particularly wonderful software or services online? How are you producing your ebooks and your paperbacks? Comments always welcome on the website, and you may well get a mention in next week's show. I mean, last week I asked what strange things people have done in the name of research for their writing. But it looks as though I haven't had any comments on the website, so I'm afraid no one gets a mention this week. So if you're listening and you're wondering whether to make a comment, then go for it. You know, you should go ahead, because there isn't a great deal of competition, evidently, is there? So, you know, go over to writingtalkpodcast.com and leave a comment and get a shout out. And I mentioned before, I'm not going to do a separate writer's toolbox this week, because it feels like the whole episode has been one enormous trip through the jumbled toolbox of ebook production. So I'll just finish off there by saying I haven't got any affiliate links or any other relationships in any way with any of the software I've mentioned. I advise you always to try before you buy and see what works for you and what's right for you. Depends how fancy you want your formatting, how often you're going to do it, that kind of thing. Worth just weighing that up. That's it for this week. I hope you found this episode useful. If you have, please share the podcast with your writer friends. For instance, if you're in a writer group or anything like that, you could share it. Please do consider subscribing the shows on iTunes and on Stitcher and on YouTube. And there's all the methods are on the site at writingtalkpodcast.com. It's also on spreaker.com. Thank you very much for listening and for all your support and your subscriptions and your comments, if you're going to go ahead and do one. Until next week, keep writing, keep tapping at the keys, keep scribbling, and above all, keep smiling. Thank you and goodbye.